This is Elise Forbes with BYU Idaho Radio. I'm here with President and Sister Eyring to talk about the recent devotional addresses. Hi, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's a treat for us.
So just to start off, how was your Christmas break?
Well, I spent a lot of time writing a devotional address.
Perfect.
I think that happened for me too a little bit, although it was also full of family.
Yes.
And a lot of playing in the snow and fun. So
wonderful.
It was great. Thank
Sounds
you.
Like a great Christmas. President Eyring, in your talk, you began by expressing a lot of gratitude. You expressed gratitude for vaccines and guidance that we received from church and medical leaders, as well as cooperation from students and members of the community. Why do you two think that gratitude is so important as we work through this pandemic?
Well, it's a great question. You can see the glass as half full or half empty in terms of this mm-hmm. pandemic. If you look at it as the glass half empty, you say, why have I got so much curtailment of my activities? Why do I have to be so cautious not to incite anyone regarding pandemic procedures? But if you go back almost a little, just a little more than 100 years ago, you know, there was this Spanish influenza, which seems to have been like the one that we've been experiencing. And yet, I just did a little bit of back of the envelope analysis, and there are about five times as many people, population-wise, who died in that pandemic mm-hmm. because we didn't have those vaccines. So you can see what you choose to see. Mm-hmm. And I have felt very, very blessed. At BYU Idaho, I'm surrounded by people, and including the parents and siblings of students. And there's the gratitude runs deep, and I'm very, very thankful for that. Even when we're not able to provide some of the things we'd gotten used to before the pandemic, I think that we have become closer to one another and closer to our Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
I love that we can look at challenges as an opportunity to grow and see the blessings that we have. And Sister Eyring, you talked about that in your devotional address. You spoke of the importance of challenges to help us feel joy. And I was curious to know if there have been instances in your life when a challenge has helped you experience greater joy.
Yeah. So immediately, things that are sometimes physically challenging come to mind. I love that my husband taught me to be a swimmer and a skier and some of these other things that seem really hard. And then you get better at them, and that's great. And there's a great joy in participating in those things in your family. There was a time when our family was called to go to Japan, as my husband was a mission president there. And I knew that I would be responsible for grocery shopping and driving and all of those things that I needed to be able to do in a country that I wasn't comfortable in. And so I studied Japanese. My Japanese was not that great. But I felt heaven's help in overcoming my initial fear of that. And so there was joy in that. And joy in learning to live there with our family and enjoying the missionaries, and that was a great time. Mostly, I think the times when I feel the most joy are when I can really work with my Father in Heaven and the Savior to overcome fears or things, you know, if I'm afraid of learning something new, if I can really feel them helping me, and I see that, and I pray for the help, and it comes. That happens even as I write a devotional talk. There is some fear, and I can feel Heavenly Father's help in that, and there is joy as I feel His love for the students that we're trying to reach.
And President Eyring, in your talk, you quoted one of my favorite scriptures, that's in D&C, when the Savior said, "I said unto you, be one, and if you're not one, you're not mine." And what are some ways that students here at BYU-Idaho can heed this counsel to be one?
Yeah. I think we're blessed on this campus. And increasingly, that's a global campus. I was looking at the devotional discussion board just earlier today, and the vast, vast majority of those who are posting are from outside the United States and Canada. And it's just remarkable to see these folks being lifting themselves and being lifted by our Heavenly Father. And it's just so clear that Heavenly Father is in a position to bless us if we are open to the blessings and willing to do the relatively small things that are required, especially the effort to be guided by the Holy Ghost in everything that we do and say, and to try to emulate the Savior. I think the best thing that we can do here on this campus is to be thoughtful of just how blessed we are, and how much there is, in French they call it, I think, noblesse oblige. You know, where much has been given, much is expected. And so you see it on this campus. You see people just, even strangers, just naturally reaching out to one another, lifting one another. There's very little competition, even in classes, you know, where, the would-be medical student is working very, very hard to get that A, but there's so many anecdotes and illustrations of how those kinds of personal preferences and selfish desires are being suppressed in the act of our reaching out to those who are less fortunate. I think you're a bona fide student. I'm an old guy. But although I do remember the days of the 1970s when my father was the president of Ricks College, but don't you see some of that in it? It's not that we're trying to be better than anybody else, but quite the contrary. We want others to feel better about themselves.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that here on campus, that there's a lot of opportunities to be humble in a true sense. You know, you can increase in self-confidence, but not put yourself above other people and work together. And I think that's really powerful. Mm-hmm. And speaking of reaching out to others, Sister Eyring, you spoke of the importance of speaking kindly to ourselves and how that helps us look outward. Do you have any advice for students who may struggle being kind to themselves or just being patient with themselves?
Well, probably just personal experience. I try to ask myself sometimes when I notice if I'm being a little hard on myself. So I think, would I say that to my friend? And I should be my best friend. So no, I wouldn't say that to my friend. So I won't say it to myself. Or sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm a human and I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying my hardest. Mostly, the thing that helps me, and I talk about this a little bit in my talk, is that if I will remember my observances of scriptures and prayer and things like that, it turns my heart to my Heavenly Father. And as I repent and think about the price that my Savior paid for me, if He's willing to do that for me, then I should be willing to give myself some grace. And so that really helps me. Also, my children will tell you that my advice to them when they are being hard on themselves or they think something isn't going well, I ask them to look around and see someone that they might lift. And they don't always like to hear that right at that moment, but it is the antidote to your own difficulties, is to look around and serve and look for other people.
I love that. Speaking of that those people who look outwards and strive to help others. I really enjoyed your story of Blue and Peach. Mm. That was a sweet story. And I was curious to know if either of you two have examples from your college experience of a time when a friend reached out to you and helped you experience more joy.
Yeah. Okay, for me, I when I went off to school, I found myself, I was at a church school, but my roommate was not a church member. And she had chosen to come to the church school because she had heard that it had a good education and that there wouldn't be a lot of partying. So she was right. She made a choice based on that. But she was like this story of Peach and Blue. We were two very different young women. I liked everything girly, and I don't know, I liked to dance, and I loved to, you know, makeup, hair, all those girly things. She was not so much that way. She liked different things. And then our religions were different. She was Lutheran, but we had a wonderful friendship, and I am so grateful for that time. She really taught me to see things differently as we talked in our room together. And I came to really love her for what she stood for and what she believed. And it was really a sweet time. I was afraid of being away at home. Even though I felt like I was surrounded by lots of people, I often felt alone. But this friend, this roommate, Janine, and I became close friends, and I'm so grateful for that experience. Very different, but I hope I was a good friend to her, too.
Yeah, well said.
So.
I love that. That's a great way to be one, is we can look at our roommates or people close to us who may be different, but have a lot to offer.
Yeah.
And President Eyring, you spoke about the life of Robert D. Hales in your address. So many lessons to be learned from him. And he obviously was an inspiring example of an honorable life. What are some examples that you've seen of students choosing to act with honor here on campus?
Well, you know, I hope I don't have blinders on, but I have been here on this campus for the last 16 years. Mm-hmm. And there were 6 years in the 70s. My father came to then Ricks College in the summer of 1971, and those were the days of long hair and bell-bottom jeans and tight-fitting bell-bottom jeans. There was not so much attention to academics, more athletics, and it was a sort of almost anything goes situation, because across the whole country, you know, there was this hippie movement, I watched my father in that situation. I was able to be on campus a lot with him in his office, and I saw him gently representing the prophet and the other leaders of the church with regard to dress and grooming standards. But, you know, with a wonderful admixture of helping the students see themselves as they were going to be. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the great gifts that we can gain here in this wonderful place. If we are sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit, if we really want to emulate the Savior, and we pray fervently to our Heavenly Father, it's the closest thing I've ever seen to the mission field. And in fact, that's quite similar, wouldn't you say?
It feels a lot that way.
It is very much that way. And I'm grateful then for a university that is as good as it can be in terms of intellect. And we can say that now with three graduates who have gone from this place to graduate programs, to jobs, and they have been very, very well served in that secular kind of way. But you can always see the spirit of a BYU Idaho student. Yeah, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well, thank you so much for all that you both do and for your words of counsel. I know that I and lots of other students will benefit from them. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well done.
Thanks.